All right. Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday afternoon. And thank you very much, Nirmala. I always enjoy listening to you before I come on. It's a very convenient time for me. We are here now for the guiding light, and what we've been looking at is NTI 1 Corinthians, and we're nearing the end of that, but that doesn't mean it won't still be a couple weeks. Last week I talked for a whole hour about one paragraph. But we are nearing the end of NTI 1 Corinthians. And then the guiding light will move to the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. That's the book that I will read next in the guiding light, the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. So before I begin today with NTI 1 Corinthians, I'm going to play a song. The song that's kind of jumping out at me right now, just popping in front of my eyes, is a song called Lady Lavender by Denise Hagen. So let's have a listen to that.
May truth be beside you, truth be before you, truth be behind you, as queen of your heart. May truth be the vision in eyes that see.
All right, so I'm going to begin reading NNTI at the top of page 305. What we're going to be reading about today is what NTI calls the fourth phase of awakening. It's also what A Course in Miracles would call the happy dream or the real world. And it's also what last night we read Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul called it the lucid dream. So that's what we're going to be reading about in NTI today. So starting at the top of page 305. What is received when all that is false has been let go is only that which reflects truth. This, which is received as truth, shall fill you with new eyes and a joyous heart. In this way, you will be ready to point the way, for you will no longer be fooled by that which is false. You shall have a taste of truth. It is upon this recognition, which is the completeness of recognition within time, that you enter into the fourth and final earthly phase of the path of truth with me. So I don't feel like I have a lot of comments on that paragraph, but just briefly. Two things really jump out at me from that paragraph. One is the only thing that you will receive is that which reflects truth. We have learned already that our thoughts, it fits very well with my mind holds only what I think with God, Kathy. Now, we have learned already that our thoughts are received. You know, as A Course in Miracles says, we think we think, but we don't actually think. Our thoughts are received, and we give attention to them, right? We're attention casters. And so what this is saying is at this point, really, what you are receiving is only that which reflects truth. For those of you who have read, studied, and contemplated the code, you might remember that the code uses the example of rising in vibration. And when you're at the lower vibration, a lot of, you know, we could call them lower thoughts are flying around and you're picking them up because you're at their frequency level. But as you begin to not cast your attention on those thoughts, even though you're picking them up, you begin to rise in vibration level. And as you rise in vibration level, there's less density. And so you are picking up fewer and fewer of these low-level thoughts. And although I think this whole vibrational level thing is a symbol, what the symbol is pointing to is very genuine. I know that because I know that it's not that a judgment never crosses my mind, but it's extremely rare. Honestly, I mean, I'm not just saying it's extremely rare. And at one time, that, you know, judgments were not extremely rare. There were hundreds of judgments a day. So I know that that there's a change that occurs when we practice forgiveness. And by practicing forgiveness, I mean when we practice not putting our attention on the types of thoughts that we're not interested in, on the types of thoughts we don't want in our mind anymore. You know, we don't force them out of the mind. We just don't give them our attention. And what happens, whether it's raising in vibration level, as the code says, or whether it's, you know, something else, what eventually happens is that the quality of what is received in the mind does genuinely change. And in fact, you get to a point where you don't have to practice forgiveness like you once did because you're not grabbing on to thoughts and having to let them go. In fact, the thoughts aren't even appearing in the mind anymore. So, this says that in this fourth phase of awakening, that's just the way NTI reads it, you know, it's just an NTI term, but in this fourth phase of awakening, everything that you receive in the mind reflects truth. You know, it's a happy, joyous, clear mind. with right-minded interpretations occurring naturally. It also says you're no longer fooled by the false. You realize what is true, and even though, you know, there can be plenty of people around you who are still confused by the thoughts and they're believing their own minds and all of that, you are no longer at risk for being drug into that because you just don't believe it anymore. That's a place of freedom. It's not a place of being better than others. In fact, if you perceive yourself as better than others, then you aren't there. But it is a place of freedom. So let's look at this fourth phase a little more carefully. The next paragraph says, "The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground." Now, this is purely symbolic because obviously your feet touch the ground when you walk just like everybody else's do. But this is just talking about how you don't get caught up in stuff. You know, other people are all caught up in the political situation that's happening or whatever, like their minds are really in it. And you just aren't. You aren't caught up in stuff, right? "The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within your mind." And when it says that you know where you walk, you know, to put that in another set of words, you know, you could say that you walk among God. I was having a conversation with Jasmine today that I can't quite pull back into my mind fully, at least not yet. Maybe as I talk, I will. It started with a moth. We have a moth in our house. It's really a very cute moth, I think. It's very pretty. It has very nice markings on its wings. But Jasmine believes she hates moths. And she's like, "I'm going to kill that moth." And I just kind of smiled, because if she kills it, she kills it. You know, I mean, I don't stand in the way of that. But I just smiled and I said, "But that's God." And then I remember we were talking about strippers. We were talking about some strippers, because a friend of mine manages strip clubs, and we got in this conversation about my friend and his life, and I was talking about how, you know, he was probably a very kind and gentle strip club manager, because he's a very kind and gentle man. He always has been. And I've known him since high school. And I said, you know, probably some guys who run strip clubs are probably pretty abusive. And then I smiled at Jasmine. I said, and you know, those girls are God too. But that's really the way we start to see. You know, Donald Trump is God too. You know, I mean, that's, you know, the suicide bombers are God too. You know, that bug over there is God too. I mean, you know, you know where you walk. You walk among God. And you know it. Yeah, no longer a stranger in a strange land. Exactly. Exactly. So the fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within the mind. You shall not know brothers, but you shall talk to them. And that's because that sense of differences fades away. In fact, you know, you can clearly see when other people are coming from ego. I mean, you know, you're not blind to ego. You wouldn't have gotten to the point of the happy dream if you were blind to ego. You had to see it in order to not give it your attention, right? So you can see it in other people too. But what happens is you see the ego as the ego. You know, like in the beginning, you know, maybe I have certain faults and I'm going to go ahead and use the people in the room, use your names, and Hal has certain faults, and Kathy has certain faults, and Dove has certain faults, and, you know, Meg doesn't do that, but Jacqueline does, or vice versa, and, you know, everything is different. But as you begin to awaken, the ego is just the ego. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it shows up in Regina or Hal or Kathy or Dove or Jacqueline or Meg or whoever. It's the same ego. You know, the differences really fade away. It's just the ego or truth. And it becomes very easy to kind of overlook the ego. You know, of course, in Miracles talks a lot about overlooking sin, I think might be the word it uses. I don't know. But, you know, it becomes very, very easy to overlook the ego because also there's this realization that the ego doesn't have any real value. You know, the only thing that has real value is truth. And so it becomes very easy to overlook the ego. So there's, you know, not that there's really one ego. That's not a true statement because the ego is just thoughts. But you could say there's only one ego, only one. What's a good word that I want to look for? Because I don't want to make it any more real than it is. Only one misperception that we call the ego. Yeah, one delusion. Yeah, there's one misperception or there's one delusion. It's not many different ones. And so it becomes very, very easy to overlook. And then there's also one truth. Right? It's that, and that truth that you have awakened to within yourself, you also see it in everyone. So you don't know brothers like you used to, right? You don't know brothers. You know sameness in different forms. You know sameness in different forms, right? But you still talk to the brothers, you know, in the way that you... in the way that you always would. And that way it hasn't changed. It's your way of seeing that has changed, but not your way of being with it. You know, like Ken Wapnick used to say, don't act weird, right? you're still very normal within your culture. So the fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within your mind. You shall not know brothers, but you shall talk to them. You will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Now, this doesn't mean that the body won't need food, I suppose. I mean, you hear people talk about breatharians. I don't know from my own personal experience whether that's a true thing or not. I just don't know. My experience is the body still likes food. maybe it even still likes food a little too much, you know. So, but I don't need food in the way that I used to. You know, anybody, you know, if you were to talk to Ron, who has known me for 25 years, Ron will tell you that there used to be this belief in the mind. He might not word it that way because he wouldn't know to word it that way. There used to be this belief in the mind that I had that I need food. That was a thought. That was a belief. And what would happen when I started to get hungry, you know, and for some reason wasn't able to eat and, you know, and the hunger would grow and, you know, for whatever reason I couldn't eat when I wanted to, I would get grumpy. You know, the thought would cause me to get grumpy. I need food, you know, and I'm hungry and crabby. Exactly. That doesn't happen anymore. I can be hungry for very long periods of time. If for some reason I'm not able to get the food, I recognize the body is hungry. And if you're around me now, you might even hear me sometimes say to the body, if you're around me at a time when we're not able to get to food, you might even hear me say to the body, don't worry, I'll feed you later. You know, don't worry, I'll take care of you as soon as I get a chance. But that's completely different. You know, it's like I recognize the body needs food, but I don't. You know, it's just a completely different experience. I can't remember the last time when I've been crabby because I was hungry, and it used to happen almost on a daily basis. You know, it's a big change. You will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Music shall accompany you in your every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. Music shall accompany you in your every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. This, of course, isn't physical music. It's not like we hear angels singing. It's symbolic of joy, of happiness. Right? It's just there. Joy and happiness are just there. I recently went through an experience that, you know, might have really worried some people. There were some doctors who, starting in about April of this year, saw some symptoms in Jasmine, and they thought that she was sick, you know, possibly even cancer. And what I noticed is that I went through the entire experience, literally, in joy. And maybe what's surprising about that is I've already known that had it been me, I would have gone through the entire experience in joy, right? Because I had the experiences with the broken wrist and, you know, different stuff. And you know, in fact, there even was a time when they thought I might have had cancer. and it turned out I didn't. But I know from my own experience that when it's this body, that I go through the entire experience in joy, you know, just whatever the doctors say, and, you know, but it doesn't touch my joy. I didn't know yet, you know, like if my daughter was possibly ill, if I would go through the entire experience in joy. And that still occurred. There was no difference between her body or my body. And I did not know, even though I felt intuitively that she was okay at the intellectual level, I did not know that. It turns out she is okay. she's perfect, which is what I intuitively felt. There was nothing wrong with her. But I didn't intellectually know that as we're going through the process. There was still only joy. There was wisdom. You know, like when Jasmine would say, Mom, I don't really have time for a doctor's appointment now. You know, I've got finals coming up. And I would be like, no, Jasmine, this is important. You need to go to the doctor anyway, right? Like, you know, this is important. We can't put this off another month, you know, just in case it's something. So there was that wisdom and that going through the process. But the joy was just there. And that's what this is talking about when it says music shall accompany you in your every moment, right? The joy is just there. Your sight will be changed from earthly sight to sight that is provided from heaven. All things shall be new, and you shall have no need for any of them. In this, your joy shall be complete. So all things shall be new, to me, just means that you see everything differently than you used to see it, right? You know, people will often say, you know, preferences are still there. And I can say that preferences are still there. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about that. You know, if you walked up and handed me some liver and onions, I might go, I don't really want that. Unless I haven't eaten in a couple weeks, so maybe my perception would change. Like, I'll take the onions, but you can have the liver. I don't really want that. You know, so, but, I guess, you know, I'm looking to see if I can express it in a different way. nothing is connected to your joy. You know, like there are some things, you know, where previously if you give me this, I will be happy. If you take it away, I will be unhappy. So it's like it's connected to my joy, right? Nothing is connected to my joy. It's great if you give me something that I prefer. That's great. I really like it. That's a lot of fun. But if something that I prefer is taken away, that's okay too. Right? That's okay too. It's not connected to my joy. I get to be happy no matter what. In fact, last week, one of the things that happened, I think you guys know that I bought a new car on Saturday. One of the things that happened Friday, was we were literally driving through cow pastures. Because in La Vida, what we're doing is we're looking at land, and sometimes in order to get to the land, you have to drive through a cow pasture. And so we had driven through one cow pasture to look at one 200 acres, and now we were going into the second cow pasture. And we had to stop while the realtor got out and opened the gate, because there's literally cows in the cow pasture, you know, so there's a gate. And then we drove in, and then I'm sitting there, just sitting there, you know, in drive, but with my foot on the brake, just idling, waiting for the realtor to close the gate and come back. And all of a sudden, my car makes this loud noise, and we see all the smoke rise up, and the realtor yelled, "Is that your car?" And I turned it off real quick, and I thought, oh my goodness, my car just died right here in a cow pasture. And my response was laughter. That was my response. I laughed. I thought, oh, isn't this funny? We're at a cow pasture, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and my car just broke. Now, as it turns out, I don't know what it was, but the car did not break. You know, we opened the hood and we looked around and we couldn't find anything. And, you know, I decided not to drive it into the cow pasture, but we went back on the road and it drove fine on the road. So I have no idea what it was, but yeah, it burped. But I decided the next day that it was a good time to get a new car. So I went ahead and got a new car. That's when I decided, okay, maybe I do need a new car. But the point was, once upon a time, I know that if I thought for a moment that my car had just completely died in a cow pasture, I wouldn't have been happy. You know, that's not a preferred situation, right? I would not have been happy. I was fine. I was happy. I was giggling. I was still having fun. Right? And so I think when this says, all things shall be new, even though it's using that word new, that's really what it means. Every moment, every experience is new. And I want to use the word adventurous. And curiosity is active, but the concern that I'm somehow going to be affected is dead, or that I'm somehow going to suffer is dead. You know, 'cause in a way you could say I'm affected. If the car had broken, I would have had to figure out how to call somebody to come and tow it and where to tow it. And, you know, I mean, I would have had to figure all that out if it had been broken. So in that way, I'm affected. I have to, my life has to respond to it. But I don't have to suffer. Right? And so that's how everything is new. Every moment is new. It's always an adventure, but it never requires my suffering. I could just keep playing along and watching and seeing what happens next, like you do in a movie. The next paragraph. The purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. What this is referring to is awakening is still the purpose. You know, it reminds me of Peace Pilgrim talked about how on her spiritual path, you know, she had those hills and valleys that you've heard me talk about before. The hilltops were the times when she was feeling at peace and everything was flowing and, you know, you could call it a taste of the happy dream. But then there would be a valley, and the valley is when the ego came back and maybe resistance came up or some fear or guilt or whatever. She never really tells those stories, so we don't know from her perspective. But she says that the valleys are when the ego showed up again so that you could let go of more ego. She actually called it when you learn your lessons. The valleys are where you learn your lessons, and they lead to the next hilltop. And so she talks about the spiritual path as a series of hills and valleys. But then she talks about how at one point she reached a mountaintop where she never had to go down into the valley again. And then she says, but the learning continued. The learning is the word she used for awakening. But the learning continued. In other words, even after she reached the mountaintop, awakening was still her purpose. If we look at it in the language of A Course in Miracles, you know, you reach the happy dream, but the happy dream is still a dream. Awakening is when you leave the dream entirely and you awaken to what the Course calls heaven. Right? So when you get to the to the happy dream, or the fourth phase in NTI, the struggle is over, the struggle between the ego and your choice to awaken, right? That back and forth is over. But awakening is still your purpose. Because awakening is not actually complete yet. It's just now you're doing it from a very, very high vibration. If we go back to the symbol of the code, you're at a very, very high vibration. And A Course in Miracles says that this is actually the gentle path of awakening, that it's very easy to step from happy dreams into heaven. Right? It's easy to do that crossing over. So the purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. Only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Okay, so Cheryl is telling me that her computer crashed. I'll just tell her okay so she knows that I know and I'm okay with it. All right. So only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. So, you know, although lots of times people do not like to admit it, the truth is that... yeah, she's having some computer problems. The truth is that... when we are still distracted from awakening, it's because we want to be. This is why, you know, we're taught that the intense desire for liberation will bring us everything we need to awaken. It all really does hinge on our desire. If I desire something else more than awakening, then I am going to be distracted from awakening by those other desires. And the more desires I have, obviously the more opportunity there is for distraction. So if I, you know, really want, you know, financial security, because I think that's what makes me feel safe, I really want a healthy body so I can live a really, really long life, because I've got a long life here confused with eternal life. You know, then there are things that are going to come up. You know, maybe some food story on the news about how something I've been eating is causing cancer. I'm like, oh, geez, I've been eating that for 20 years. And, you know, I'm going to be distracted, but I'm distracted because of this desire to have a healthy body. Or if they're predicting that, you know, even though the stock market's been going up, up, up with Donald Trump, that, you know, eventually there's a downfall that has to happen. What goes up will come down. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, no, and I'm all worried about my money. I'm distracted, but I'm distracted because I had another desire, too, that desire for financial abundance or financial security, at least, maybe not abundance. But if I only desire the truth, then I don't have all of those thoughts. I'm not subject to all of those thoughts, to giving my attention to all of those thoughts that have to do with these other things. And so what's happening is I am desiring distraction through desiring other things, right? But it says in the fourth phase, that's not happening anymore. I don't desire other things anymore. Right now, all of that has been cleared away. My desire is complete. My desire is whole. And I only want awakening. And so there's no distraction at all, which again would explain why the struggle with the ego is over. Right? That struggle with the ego, that didn't just happen because the ego is the devil and it was fighting with me. Right? We talked about how the ego is nothing, right? A misperception, a delusion, right? That struggle with the ego didn't happen because the ego was really fighting. It happened because my desire wasn't whole yet. That's why there even was a struggle with the ego. Sure, I wanted awakening, but I wanted awakening and financial security. And I wanted awakening and for my daughter to live a long, healthy life. And I wanted awakening and dot, 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 right? And that's what created the struggle with the ego. If I had known from the moment I heard the word awakening or spiritual enlightenment, if I had been whole, my gosh, that's all I want, boom, there would never have been a struggle. The struggle is not required. But most of us are not that wholly committed when the calling first arises. And in fact, for most of us, I bet in the very beginning, we're minimally committed when the calling first comes, right? And so there's this whole struggle. But what's really happening in that struggle is that we're figuring out what we really want. The way that's worded in A Course in Miracles is the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. Right? The Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. We experience the hills and the valleys. Again, the hills being when, you know, we're at least temporarily detached, temporarily willing for whatever is, right? And we feel the ease of that and the flow of that. And then we go back to being attached again, back to here's how I want it again, and boom, we're back in the valley and we feel the struggle of that. And by contrasting the experience of the hills with the experience of the valleys, our desire to let go of me and my way becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, right? Until eventually we drop it completely. And then we're on this mountaintop where we never have to come down again. But according to this, and according to many other teachings, but awakening is still occurring. We're in the happy dream. In awakening, there's no dream. And in fact, somewhere in NTI, it says something about you can stay in the happy dream as long as you want, but what you're really doing is you're still preparing yourself to let go of the dream entirely. So we could say there is still a last shred of fear there, right? You know, what is this beyond the dream? What is this no world, right? So that's why this fourth phase, although it's a happier phase of awakening, it is still an illusory phase. And an awakening, you know, we're still not fully ready for awakening. And so our purpose is still getting ourselves to be fully ready. So again, the purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. Only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Now, in the fourth stage, your focus is complete. Now you know what you want, and you want it wholly. During the fourth phase, there are no distractions. During the fourth phase, there are no fears. There are no doubts. And there is no feeling of guilt. There is only a knowing of what is true and a life that is the willingness for acceptance. So again, you can hear it's not fully accepted yet because the life is still called a willingness for acceptance, right? But it sounds like a pretty advanced state, if you don't mind me using those terms, compared to the average person still, you know, struggling within the world. It's probably that state that the Hindus would call sattvic. And, you know, the Hindus talk about the sattvic person and how the sattvic person is detached. The sattvic person is happy. The sattvic person is clear, has wisdom, but also still in the dream, right? It's the exact same teaching showing up in a completely different culture. So we call it the happy dream, or NTI calls it the fourth phase, or Michael Singer calls it the lucid dream. Hindus call it sattvic, but still in the dream. You know, so we see this showing up across different traditions, that there is this phase we can reach, which is, you know, comparatively awake, right? If you compare to the average person in the world, there's an awakeness here. But it's not awake with a capital A, because it's still in the dream, awake in the dream. Hal says, this could not be a more perfect description of what I have just experienced these last few days. And of course, I don't know if you talked about the awake part or the struggle part. I don't know which one you've experienced in the last few days. And Kathy says, a relative awakeness. Oh, you've experienced the awake part. Good. Yeah. Kathy says, a relative awakeness. Yes, compared to before, this is awake, right? But not awake with a capital A. Yeah. So, during the fourth phase, there are no distractions. During the fourth phase, there are no fears. There are no doubts, and there is no feeling of guilt. There is only a knowing of what is true and a life that is the willingness for acceptance. The one that seems to be in the fourth stage is but a symbol of the truth that is. So this one must pass away also. But in its passing, you pass from a final illusion of beauty to beauty that cannot be contained in illusion. You pass from form, which reflects light, to light, which shines into form. So what those words are pointing to is going from awake with a little a to awake with a capital A, beyond the dream entirely. Right? You pass from a final illusion of beauty to beauty that cannot be contained in illusion, right? You pass from form which reflects light, that's the happy dream, form which reflects light, to light, right? To light, which then shines into form. So this is talking about awakening beyond the dream. So it is saying that there's another stage beyond this fourth stage. It says, you shall not know death in your passing from the fourth phase to light. For this passing is recognition of life. And I think, honestly, I think this sentence is here in case anybody is misunderstanding NTI. In case NTI lands in the hands of somebody who is, you know, coming to NTI from a Christian tradition, and they misunderstand NTI as talking about dying and going to heaven, right? And so I think this sentence is here saying, no, no, no. You know, you're not going to taste death, right? This, we're not talking about dying and going to heaven, right? We're talking about the next phase of awakening. But we're not talking about bodily death at all. So you shall not know death in your passing from the fourth phase to light. For this passing is recognition of life. This passing is acceptance of all that is true and all that has always been true. This passing is the final release of illusion, so that no illusion may appear to you. And death is an illusion. So you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. Therefore, be willing to become an empty shell and be willing for this completely. For it is through emptiness that illusion is released. And it is through releasing it that illusion is taken away. Now, I had said, it was kind of funny because, you know, I really don't know anything. And I said, no telling how many weeks it will take. We only have 2 chapters left, but no telling how many weeks it will take to finish, you know. But when I do finish, here's what I'm going to do next. We might finish today. We might finish NTI 1 Corinthians today. I'm going to move right into NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 16. By the way, welcome back, Cheryl. I guess you're back. I didn't notice if your name was out of the room when you were having your computer problems, but now I notice your name is in the room. So hopefully that means you're back. All right, here's NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Set aside your thoughts of division. When you see them in your mind or in the plane out of thought within the world, rejoice. What you see is not true. Be happy that you have found willingness to deny that which is false. For inherent in its denial is the willingness to accept only that which is true. So we're getting some final instructions here as we're coming to the end of NTI 1 Corinthians. And these final instructions, again, are do not give your attention to any thoughts of division. And thoughts of division, you know, she's smarter than me. She's dumber than me. She has a lucky life. You know, she has she's so unlucky. I mean, you know, they just show up in all kinds of ways. Any thought that says she, he, or it is not me. This damn car, it never works right, right? Right? Any thought that says he, she, or it is not me. These are thoughts of division. They're thoughts that are teaching you that you are this body, right? And so it's asking us to let go of them, but it says, what's really interesting is it says rejoice when you see them. You know, so when you notice, you know, that you're upset because your car just quit working in a cow pasture and you think you're stranded and now you got all these problems you didn't have 5 minutes ago, right? Rejoice that you see that. Oh, yay. I'm so happy that I'm catching myself thinking in this way because now I can let it go. If I didn't catch myself, I couldn't let it go, right? And letting it go, awakening is my goal. So I'm so grateful that I caught myself. I'm so grateful that I see myself thinking in this way. So set aside your thoughts of division. When you see them in your mind or in the playing out of thought within the world, rejoice. What you see is not true. Be happy that you have found willingness to deny that which is false. For inherent in its denial is the willingness to accept only that which is true. The door that is opened is the doorway to the light, which is also the doorway to yourself and your brothers who are one with you. In passing through that doorway, you cannot return. For to return would be to pass from awareness, with a capital A, to the belief in lack of awareness and division. One who knows wholeness after experiencing the lack of wholeness knows illusion is no substitute for truth. He shall not choose illusion again. Now again, the way the story goes, and I like to distinguish between stories and truth because I don't think truth can be captured in words or stories, right? The stories point toward truth. But the way the story goes in NTI is that there was truth, and then there was this thought, what if it could be different? And, of course, inherent in that thought, what if it could be different, is could it be better? And so what this is saying is a learning has occurred, and we could call it at a soul level, that there isn't anything better than truth. That learning has completed itself. That learning has occurred. And so since that learning has occurred, the question cannot be reborn. You know the answer now. So one who knows wholeness after experiencing the lack of wholeness knows illusion is no substitute for truth. I need a drink. Hold on. Getting a little dry. Okay. I think my throat's ready to talk again, but I'm not sure, so I'm going to give it another moment. Okay, I think it's ready. One who knows wholeness after experiencing the lack of wholeness knows illusion is no substitute for truth. He shall not choose illusion again. But being one mind with all that he thought was separate, he shall remain as a memory to call the mind that sleeps into wakefulness, that all that is whole may know itself as one and whole again. So this is talking about how I, for example, experienced the inner Ramana, you know, when Ramana Maharshi died in 1950, or how people may experience the inner Jesus, right? Let me read these words again, but it's talking about once one has awakened, the capital A awake. Here's what it says. I'll just read these words. Being one mind with all that he thought was separate, he shall remain as a memory to call the mind that sleeps into wakefulness, that all that is whole may know itself as one and whole again. And when I read the word memory, the image that I get is kind of like a footprint. You know, like a cosmic footprint. This cosmic footprint of this one gets left. And then what happens is that cosmic footprint continues to communicate the awakening of that one like an echo within the dream. You know how our wrong-minded thoughts, right? We give our attention to our wrong-minded thoughts and they go out and then in some form they come back again. They're really just echoes. The right mind is also an echo. It's just the reverberation of the echo of this awakening, right? But that cosmic footprint stays in the dream. And so the more apparent individuals that awaken, the more cosmic footprints there are to guide us. So one who knows wholeness after experiencing the lack of wholeness knows illusion is no substitute for truth. He shall not choose illusion again. But being one mind with all he thought was separate, he shall remain as a memory to call the mind that sleeps into wakefulness, and all that is whole may know itself as one and whole again. It is your brothers who are you in truth. Look beyond their illusion and you look beyond your own. Forgive them their mask and you forgive your own. Accept them as innocent and as love and you accept yourself. Reject nothing that is true and accept nothing that is false. And you free yourself of your own willingness. So what this is saying is overlooking the ego in your brother is the same as overlooking the ego in you. Contemplating the life, the isness in your brother is the same as contemplating the life and the isness in you. So it's not going to work if you were to overlook your own ego but still hold your brothers to some kind of a judgmental standard. And vice versa. It's not going to work if you're going to overlook your brother's ego and still hold yourself to some kind of a judgmental standard, right? It has to be whole. You overlook ego, period, regardless of whether it shows up in you or your brother. And you contemplate isness or life or awareness, period, both in you and your brother. And I want to extend that contemplating isness thing to nature because I find that very, very helpful. And you know, many people, throughout history who have attained some kind of mastery have done that, contemplated the isness in nature as well, right? Do everything in love, which is trust and acceptance within the world. In this way, you look beyond the world to the truth that is your reality, and you accept it into your heart once again. In this way, you greet your brother in his truth, and in this way, you greet and welcome yourself. So here we have the loving all method. Do everything in love. It also reminds me of a line that was in The Peaceful Warrior last month about a master doesn't, you know, do what he loves. He loves what he does, something like that, right? It's not that a master says, oh, you know, what I want to do is be an artist, and so, you know, and attracts that to himself. No, no, no. The master just loves what he does. Whatever it comes to him to do, he loves it, right? He brings love to everything. The loving all method. And so that's this final instruction coming from NTI 1 Corinthians. Do everything in love. We have three paragraphs left. There is only one. All else is false. It is an image over the truth which remains true behind it. It is a mask on the light that is you. It is nothing permanent, and so it is not real. It deserves gratitude as an expression of freedom, but ask to give it nothing more. Say thank you and give it release. So that's the response to anything that's not true. You say thank you. Thank you for showing up. You know, obviously, if you're an untrue thought, you know, you were called upon, or you wouldn't have shown up. So thank you for showing up. But I'm no longer interested. Peace be in your mind, for there is nothing to fear. All that you give to yourself. Let the gift that has been given be appreciated and let go. It is only a reflection of your freedom. It is not a reflection of your truth. Again, you know, if we've been focusing on guilt and blame, you know, we're going to feel guilty, you know, but remember this is coming because we focused on guilt and blame. And so now guilt is here, right? If we're angry, this is coming because we focused on judgment thoughts. And so now anger is here, right? So see it as a gift that you gave yourself. And again, say thank you for coming. Obviously, I called you, but I'm no longer interested. Right? Thank you for coming, but I'm no longer interested. In truth, you are whole. In freedom, you are an expression. Release the expression you no longer want. Know your true self as whole and free again. Amen. And that's the end of NTI 1 Corinthians. So, as I mentioned, next week the Guiding Light will continue, but it will continue with a new book. We're going to open a new book, and that book is The Teachings of Ramana Maharshi. So I look forward to that, and I hope you all do too. And for now, temporarily, the end. Bye.